Scott Tatey here, WISR. It's St. Patrick's Day, and that's an option, right, to go out tonight and drink some green beer, maybe hear some Irish music performed live, or a DJ, karaoke Irish music. But let me throw another idea at you. How about going to see a great rock and roller, Jim Messina of Loggins and Messina, that's right, also of the pioneering country rock band Poco. Jim Messina, also in Buffalo Springfield. He's got quite a resume, and he's in town tonight at the Oaks Theater in Oakmont. We've got Jim Messina on the line. We're going to be talking about how him and Kenny Loggins got together for all those hits like Your Mama Don't Dance, Angry Eyes, Pooh Corner, and more. We'll also talk to him about Stays with Poco and about the show he'll be doing tonight at the Oaks. Let's get to it. Music for you there. Loggins and Messina, listen to a country song, a song we just might hear live when Jim Messina's on stage in Oakmont. Jim's joining us now. Jim, how's it going?
Good, good. How are you doing this morning?
Doing real well. Appreciate you having time to talk to us. I saw your last show in Oakmont at the Oaks Theater, and that was a very entertaining time. Looking forward to having you back here. Talk about the show you've got planned for people.
Well, I've got a new set, combined some of the old stuff, but it'll be some classic stuff from Your Mama Don't Dance to, we added Call It Love from the Poco time when I was there. I added a new song from the Buffalo Springfield Carefree Country Day. And I'm honoring Rusty. I miss him a lot. So a couple of the songs that Rusty Young did with Poco Buffalo Springfield we'll be doing. But I've got some new tunes. I'm doing a song. One of my favorite songs as a kid was Dragging the Line, and I've got a new rendition of that. I talked to Tommy James, and I said, do you mind if I update this a bit? And he says, man, I love it. So we're having a lot of fun.
Tommy, yeah, although he's a Detroit guy, he kind of got his start in Pittsburgh, a radio station playing him outside of here. And we kind of consider him one of us. So that's cool.
Yeah, well, we're going to do one of your songs.
And Jim, I understand you're doing a Q&A afterwards, so people at the show will be able to throw some questions your way.
Absolutely. I've got COVID a couple of times from being too close to fans and in the community, and I had to stop the meet and greets, but then I decided, you know what, I really miss communicating, so I've started this thing called A Conversation with Jim Messina after the show. It's free. As soon as I finish my show, give me 15 minutes and I'll come back, change my shirt. And I tell folks, you can ask me any question you want. Doesn't mean I'm going to answer it, but you can ask. And it's great because I hear the stories, their stories, how they grew up, the music, what they love, what they like. And they ask me questions that sometimes I never get asked. So, and the whole audience is there to listen. So it's wonderful. We have a great time.
We have a lot of Loggins and Messina songs in our library, and I'm sure that's some of the questions you get. People want to know about Your Mama Don't Dance. What are your memories of that one coming about? What was the genesis for that song?
Well, when I was a kid, my parents, one of them, stepfather was from Arkansas, my mother was from Texas, and they didn't dance too much, and my stepfather did not like me playing rock and roll music. So it was one of those things where I just came up with the idea from a personal experience, and Kenny and I were sitting around one day waiting for the band to show up, and I said, I've got this song that's almost finished. You think you can help me finish it? And we finished it in about 20 minutes. Band shows up. We rehearsed it. First time we played it at the Troubadour, it just went over so well that the record company released it, and sure enough, it was a hit.
Mama don't dance and your daddy don't rock and roll. rolls around and it's time to go to town. Where do you go? To rock and roll.
All because your mama don't dance and your daddy don't rock and roll. Your mama don't dance and your daddy don't rock and roll. When evening rolls around and it's time to go to town, where do you go? To rock and roll. Where do you go? To rock and roll. Where do you go? To rock and roll.
You and Kenny Loggins came about, he was looking for a producer, and you had already done work with Buffalo Springfield. You were one of the founders of Poco. Well, what were your first impressions of you guys? Did you instantly know you'd be working together, collaborating, or was there a bit of a feeling out kind of process?
Well, you know, the first time I met Kenny, I never met him personally, but I was auditioning for a job at Audio Arts. Madeline Baker owned the studio that Jimmy Webb, she had published all this material. Of course, Jimmy and I went to high school together. But Kenny was in there with a group of musicians that I had produced a record for them called The Riot. It was called Rising Sun. They were the Deep Six. And it was a local hit. So I recognized the musicians, but I asked Mike Durow, who was auditioning me, who's the tall, skinny guy with the beard? He says, oh, his name's Kenny Loggins. I said, oh. But it wasn't until a number of years later that he was sent to me by CBS to consider. At first, I wasn't sure what to think because his songs were all folky, you know, Danny's Song, House at Pooh Corner, and, of course, you know, the Kingston Trio was already over. I didn't know what to think, but it was after I interviewed him and I realized that he loved to sing and he loved different genres that I thought, you know, I want to take a gamble and see if we can't find, you know, songs that are different in genres and perhaps have a better chance of getting a hit record, because Poco was just too country for rock and too rock for country stations. And we could sell out a show, but we couldn't sell any records. And it was my hope that finding a young guy who had a good voice and was open to doing something new would work, and it was a good gamble for both of us.
And when you look back on that partnership, was there a standout moment? Was it either a full house you're playing for? Was it having a song on the charts or being on the cover of a magazine, whatever? What was to you maybe the peak of Loggins and Messina, the thing you're most proud of?
Well, I think my most memorable experiences and emotionally were playing Carnegie Hall. That was absolutely wonderful. Getting the cover of Rolling Stone was fun as well. Playing some of the larger venues like Nassau Coliseum or, you know, in New York, what is the name of that Coliseum? I forget that we're at Madison Square Garden. And there's some wonderful moments, but the Chicago Auditorium Theater was a wonderful place to play. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I felt like I was playing inside of a birthday cake. But I think just about every venue, every audience offers something different. The bigger ones are interesting. They're more difficult to play because there's no real intimacy, and it's so big you're constantly just going by Braille. Whereas the smaller venues, you get a chance to see people's faces and seeing them sing and laugh and smile. And, you know, they're all wonderful. It's just great to have a great audience who wants to come and hear your music.
And you also perform Poco songs. You talked about Poco being too country for rock radio, too rock for country radio. Do you feel like the band's gotten its due? What an influence it was on so many bands that followed. Have you heard from other country rock bands through the years that sort of tipped their hat to you?
Yeah, you know, I think they realized that we were part of an inspiration for them. You know, sometimes it's not fun being the one who kind of sets the trends. Buffalo Springfield was very much that way. Poco was that way. Many times a little bit ahead of the curve. But the problem is if you're behind the curve, then you're a follower. If you're ahead of the curve, then sometimes people don't listen. That's why we have, you know, music people in the business who get it, who understand it, who can go to the record label and say, wow, this guy Bob Dylan, I think he's something, you know. And if it hadn't have been for that kind of conversation, or even with Elvis Presley, or going back to Frank Sinatra, sometimes the golden goose is right in front of you, but, you know, you're looking at the duck instead.
Let's play a piece of Poco. Here's the chorus to the hit, Crazy Love.
I hear her name and I have to cry. The tears come down again. It happens all the time. This crazy love of mine wraps around my heart, refusing to unwind.
Yeah, I'm gonna play some of their favorites. I'll probably do "Watching the River Run" and "Pooh Corner" and "Danny Song" and that stuff to start, just to get the audience involved in singing and having fun. And then I'm gonna move back into history into 1967 when I first started producing the Buffalo Springfield and in New York. When we went there to try to record, we recorded a couple of songs. One was "Kind Woman" and another was "Carefree Country Day." So I was 19 years old when that song was recorded, and I didn't get much attention. And I thought years later, I said, it's a really a good song. I think what I'm going to do is add it to the set, and we'll start off with, you know, "Carefree Country Day," "Kind Woman," which was also recorded there in New York. And then I go into "You Better Think Twice," which was a Poco song. So we evolved from Springfield to Poco. And then I've added "Call It Love," the last song that the original band did in 1989, as a memory for Rusty Young, who regrettably is not with us any longer, but was such a great influence both on Richie and I to get Poco started, and then of course went on with the band and had his own hits with "Crazy Love" and stuff like that. So we got a chance to reunite our relationship with that 1989 legacy album, and then later in life, we would do shows together, and So I miss the guy, and I don't want people to forget who he is and what he did and the music that we created together. So I've added that to the set, which is fun.
And I bet you'll be rocking out on "Angry Eyes." I remember that one being one of the standout.
Oh, yeah. We just can't do a set without doing that. People love it so much. And I've also brought back "You Need a Man." My band, which consists of five members, including myself, I've got Jack Breno on drums, who was with Tina Turner, Delbert McClinton, and Elton John. Joe Cocker, he's such a fabulous drummer. Stevie Nieves on sax, percussion, and vocals. He was with us on the reunion tours in 2005 and 2009 with Loggers and Messina. I've got a wonderful keyboard player, James Frazier, who does vocals and keyboards. And then a young guy, about 33 years old, who's a bass player. He sings all the high parts, and we're able to almost totally reproduce the arrangements exactly as they were. I'm missing a sax player, but I've been able to take the keyboard player and use a B3 and get the harmony parts to go along with it. And many times I'll play on guitar, we'll play the three horn parts. And so the energy is there. We all have to put on different hats to keep the music and the arrangements as they originally were. So we have a lot of fun, and I've got committed guys. They love to play the arrangements the way they should be. I'm a big fan of not changing arrangements. I've gone to see acts, and they change the arrangements of the songs that were hits, and they're just not always that recognizable. But when the arrangement is as close as the original as it can be, I think that's where the audience, I know for myself, when I heard the Everly Brothers sing Let It Be Me, you know, when that original recording comes on, it emotionally moves me. So I try to work to keep that happening in the audience. And I think I'm doing a good job, because when we do the conversations with people, always thank me for keeping the arrangements so they could recognize them.
I can picture people out there shaking their heads. Yes, they like what you're saying. We're talking to Jim Messina, who's got a show to the Oaks Theater in Oakmont. Tickets, some available, starting at $65. And I'll end with one more question, Jim. Tomorrow is St. Patrick's Day now. Are you going to have to throw anything in the set? You've got Danny's song. Can you turn that into Danny's Boy, maybe, or Danny Boy? Or I don't know.
Well, I'll plant that seed in people's mind. They can fill in the words for themselves.
Jim Messina, anything else you want to say about your show here in Pittsburgh?
No, I think we pretty much covered. But I'm looking forward to seeing our audiences, and I think we'll be able to give you a great show, and you'll have fun with your friends and family when you come.
Okay, looking forward to it. Thanks very much, Jim. Keep up the great work.
Thanks, Scott.